Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. It endures all things. Love hopes all things. Hope that has confident expectation. It is definite. It is persistent. It is absolute truth. And there's no situation that divine love within us cannot face with full hope. And that's what love is all about. Love hopes. Hope is not refusing to face the truth. Hope is having a confidence in God to see you through each difficult trial. Jesus was always the epitome of truth, but he never failed to bring hope to others. When he met the woman taken into adultery, he inspired her to have hope again. And when he met the thief on the cross, Jesus made sure that the man left this life with hope. He told the story of the lost coin that was found, the lost son who came home, and the lost sheep that was found. Over and over again, what Jesus said in his message, there's hope. Though he was mocked, disbelieved, and crucified, he never doubted the glory that was yet to be, and he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He had hope. Good morning. Good morning, morning people. And those who struggled out of bed, who said, it's camp, so we just have to come a little bit early. It's great to see you all this morning. My name is Kevin, and we drove about 400 miles to be here, which was less than last year and less than the year before. So thanks for moving it a little closer to us in New Hampshire. But it is good to be here. I serve a small camp called Camp Sentinel. It's in Tufton Borough, New Hampshire, which is right above Lake Winnipesaukee. What about Bob? That lake, yeah. So if you know that lake, that's what New Hampshire's known for, that movie, What About Bob? So we're right on the top of the lake. We're on 600 acres. We have a mile of water frontage. It's a beautiful camp. Serve about 750 kids each year. That's up from about 100 a little over a decade ago. So God moved in a powerful way. Not that it's about the numbers by any means. And if you know me, you know that it's not about the numbers with me. It's about the opportunity to share and spread the good news of the gospel. Besides being at Camp Sentinel, I serve at an 1837 church in New England, and they asked me 3 years ago, and be really careful when they ask things, because they said, would you come in as the interim for just a couple months? That was 3.5 years ago, and the biggest thing that came at me then was a lot of clergy. A lot of my friends said, you can't do that. That's too much for your plate. And I said, well, if it was my plate, it would be too much, but it's not. It's his plate. And God manages my time along with my bride, Tracy. We've been married 23 years, and she's a pastor's kid. So I have an inside scoop on how to manage life and how to do ministry, I guess, is the thing. Aside from that, I serve as your region rep, which means that we have a board in Christian Camping. And I shared a little bit of that last night. And again, I said a couple years ago, I would fill a term for someone, their four-year terms. That was 6 years ago. They said, Kevin, we appreciate you being on the board. And because you're a small camp, we want to hear from small camp. So I'm one of the small camp people on the board. I represent you all, you know, even those large camps as well. But certainly every once in a while, I'll give a nudge to the board. So remember the little guy. Remember the small camp. So and that is my heart being being again serving at Camp Sentinel. So, like I said, it's good to be here. Aside from Tracy, we have three kiddos. I should say now two adult children. One is 20, one is 18, and Tucker is at Gordon College. He's a communications major. He does a lot of our marketing at camp, and we get one more year out of him. He just came home for Christmas. He said, "Yeah, Dad, I'll come after my junior year and do marketing." So that's good. And then Abigail is down at Word of Life in Florida. And absolutely loving it. And she said, you know, if there's two Word of Lifes and I live in New England, why would I possibly go to the one in New York? Because it's cold. So she's down in Florida. It was 88 degrees yesterday and saying how warm it was. But she's a New England girl. And then Owen is our youngest. He's 12. Tracy and Owen are here. So thanks for waking up. That's always fun, too. So Owen said, I want to hear Dad this morning. But again, good to be here. My purpose this morning is really just to, as I say often in ministry, and what really all of our purpose is to clear the path to Christ so people can experience Christ in a real way. That hope that I shared, and that's something that Jesus brought, was hope. I love these opportunities because it allows us to walk our talk. You know, what camp is about. We do camp, but also we need to sit at the feet and experience what camp is all about. My hope is just these next two mornings and throughout the time, we'll be able to quiet our hearts. Let me open it. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, for the opportunity, the privilege it is just to come together. Lord, just to wake up this morning and just to meet you. Lord, we have a whole day ahead of us and you're going to do some great things. But Lord, we ask that you just limit the distractions, those emails that we have to check or those phone calls we have to make. Lord, and sometimes we have to do that, but Lord, just please take those distractions away. Especially here this morning and with the Bible teaching this morning and throughout the day. Our fellowship and drawing closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I gave a little, lead in last night, Galatians 6:9 was really the one that that hit my heart. And as we look at endurance, I'm always the one to say, let's slow down a little bit, especially at camp. Let's be still and know that he is God and, you know, all that stuff. Let's go out in the, you know, our hammocks or whatever needs to be done. Let's just slow down. And that's what camp is about, but it is a race of endurance, and we do have to run, and we have to prepare ourselves for that. Our Bible study theme this summer at Sentinel is to walk in confidence. So when I saw that come together, it's just something that God has laid on my heart, and I've been sharing it to the pockets of people that that have come across my path. And as I prayed about what I had to share this morning, God certainly directed my heart to that. But Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap the harvest if we don't give up. Now, you know, when we read scripture and when we see that, you know, our minds go to different things. You know, don't give up, don't give up. There's going to be a harvest, you know, at the end. But for me, I back it up even to the point of the first few words there where it says, let us not become weary in doing good. Now, the reminder there is that in doing good, we will become weary, we will become tired, and we have to take certain reminders to, one, slow ourselves down, but remember who God is, his promises, and his presence in our lives, but also, you know, just slowing ourselves down and centering ourselves. That's where the scripture in Colossians talks about. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, and these are the two texts, the one is just kind of a launch off for you, that we need to, you know, not become weary. We will become weary, but how do we rise above that? But Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with, and we hear these five attributes, and they're great things, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And I believe truly when we clothe ourselves with those things, we become closer to the presence of God and who he is in our lives. But before we get dressed, it's important to remember those three key pieces that we see in the first part of Colossians 3. And it says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And that's what I just like to take a few moments this morning just to unpack. I'm reminded of an illustration. There was a man named Danny Cox. He was a former jet pilot, and he turned into a business leader. But he tells his readers in his book, Seize the Day, that when jet fighters were first invented, they flew much faster than their propellered predecessors. So jumping out of the airplane when danger came became more of a sophisticated process. Theoretically, of course, all the pilot really needed to do was to push a button and clear the plane and then roll forward into the seat, and the parachute would then open. But there was a problem that popped up during the testing. Some pilots, instead of letting go, would grip onto the seat in fear, and the parachute would remain trapped between the seat and the pilot's back. Well, the engineers went back, and Cox writes this, the new design called for a 2-inch web strap, one end each on the front and the edge of the seat under the pilot, and the other attached to the electronic take-up reel behind the headrest. 2 seconds after ejection, the electronic take-up wheel would immediately take up the slack and force the pilot out of their seat, thus freeing the parachute. Well, the bottom line here in this illustration is that jet fighter pilots needed to have a device to launch them out of our seats, out of their seats in times of danger, because they would grip on in fear. So I ask us, what does it take to get us out of our seat? That little webbed piece helps us. How can we be all in? And really the question comes, I kind of loop back to what really truly brings us joy. We see in Romans 15:13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you," what? "Trust in him so that you may overflow with," again, that word, "hope, by the power of the Holy Spirit." As our speaker identified last night, hope is one of those things that we see lost in society. We see that lost in our camps today. It's one of the things that if you can come alongside the young people this summer or the guest groups that come throughout, hope is one of those things we hope that they leave with. You know, they come tired and we want them to leave closer to Christ. Again, this verse in Colossians really reminds us as we park for a few minutes that God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, how we can have that hope again. I find today that fear, as I mentioned, so easily grips us in so many different ways. I talk to camp people and I see the guests and I see the campers that come through, and discouragement sets in and we really become paralyzed. Perhaps it's the political climate, the weather, being too cold, too hot, things not going exactly the way that we want them, a health scare, a medical diagnosis, someone may be saying something negative that drags us down, which we allow to turn over and over in our minds. But we can have freedom from that. Just a few weeks ago, we all celebrated Christmas, and we remember what the angel said in Luke 2:10. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." That's good news, and that's something that didn't just happen a few weeks ago. That's something that should carry us through this year and particularly our lives. So as we look forward, we need to, like the fighter pilot sometimes, we want to hold on, but we need to be propelled out of our seat, and God's hope certainly will do that. God designed that 2-inch strap, taking up the reel, which propels us to safety, reminding us that we are chosen, we are his, we are elect, we are dearly loved. And this is good news, again, for all the people, as the angel reminds us. This verse in Colossians 3:12 is a protective verse. It's a verse of preparation. And just a few verses back, Paul identifies the sins that drag us down, things to avoid in our lives. Colossians 3:5-8, and I'll just go through them quick. Greed, impurity, anger, wrath, malice, slander. He calls these out. He calls these negative behaviors out and offers a positive solution, positive traits as followers of God to strive to emulate. Remembering first that God loves us, so we need to love others in word and deed, as love binds us together in Christian unity. And that's what we're called to within ministry. So what does this term chosen mean? Paul prefaces the list of these 5 protective traits with 3 names. And the first is God's chosen people, which means selected by God. The Jewish people were chosen by God, which identifies those people as being chosen to worship God and to fulfill the mission of proclaiming the truth to all the nations of the world. Deuteronomy 14:2 says this, "For you are a people holy and to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people of his own possession out of all the nations that are on the face of the earth." I love that term, chosen people. And what it really means in the ancient text is a treasured people. We forget that as we do ministry. I heard years ago the one of the greatest troubles with ministry is we can learn how to do ministry and we just become so numb and we just go through the motions of it. But as camp people, as ministers, what we need to remember is that we are loved by God and we're treasured by God. That term means, the term actually comes from a word, amsegula, and it also means that we're a heritage people. Say that a couple times. So, but we are God's treasured people, and we have to remember that, especially as we serve in ministry. being chosen doesn't necessarily mean that we get more privileges being in a special club, but rather we have a special obligation to carry out the will that God has impressed upon our hearts and our lives. Jeremiah 7:23 says, "Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and walk in the way that I've commanded you." And there's a promise there when we do those things, when we clothe ourselves, when we walk with God, it will be, may it be well with you. God gives us that promise. Being chosen, again, carries a special spiritual responsibility and standards to develop and embrace those spiritual muscles that we have to preserve and share God's story, God's love, God's hope that Christ did. When we remember we are chosen by God, we're not selfish with it. In human form, we give it out, and that's what we do in our camp ministries. And I also speak to any supporters out there as well, any supporters of camp ministry, those spouses and families and ones that stand with us. You have an important role. We are chosen by God. Secondly, we are holy. And we know that term, holy. We know what that means. But again, Paul first addresses the followers of God to be chosen. But then again, this word holy, being described as holy means to be set apart. And I remember that, you know, from my days in, you know, early, you know, Sunday school in the Baptist church in Wanamassa, New Jersey, is be holy for I am holy, be separate for I am separate. And that's what I thought about. I had to be separate from sin and from others. But the scripture says in 1 Peter, "But as he hath called you to be holy in a manner of conversation, because it's written, be holy, for I am holy." Holy, again, means to be set apart, but further, sacred, morally blameless, and consecrated. But God is looking for people who are consecrated to be used for his use. It doesn't end through being separate. We have to be in the throes. He knows those holy ones could be holy because, again, he chose us. He has saved us and he calls us into a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because we are his own purpose. The King James Version of 1 Peter 1:15 that I just read uses the word conversation. It says, "Be holy in all manner of conversation." And this is where it truly links with the verse that we're looking at, in clothing ourselves. The word translated conversation means our behavior. This verse is saying in the manner of our life or behavior, it should reflect the holiness of God. Well, why? Because this, our behavior, is how we are seen, how his love is shown, and how truth and light shine, how comfort is given to those in need. Being holy does not mean building walls around ourselves and, again, becoming separate in our churches or in our ministries. Our spiritual obligation to holiness means that we need to live the lives that we are in. And as we heard last night, we need to run forward because God will empower us. Not just comfortable, but sometimes that long walk that requires work. Holiness should be, again, guiding light. And our job is, again, to help clear the path to God through living lives of holiness. So how we live lives of holiness is not necessarily, again, doing more. We feel sometimes that in order to do the work of God, we have to do more. Often we need to just sit at Christ's feet and listen more, following his ways more, not living hurried lives and lives filled with hurry. Holy means God's work in us, not our own good deeds. You can't earn holiness by action. Holiness is the relationship when it comes from remembering that we are loved by God. We need to show holiness because that's how God is seen. Lastly, we need to remember in this third invitation that we are beloved by God. You are loved by God. One of the most profound things one of our worship leaders said with 150 kids in the room and 50 staff this summer was, "Look around you. Look around that God made us." And you can do that. Do that today. He said that. He said, "Look around and see that you are beloved. You are beautiful." I love that. I have new reflection on people when I remember that God made each of us and made each of us unique. Chosen because we're a treasured people. Holy because we're set apart. And beloved means that we are greatly loved. No one can love us like God loves us because God is love. God spoke the world into existence with love. The greatest expression of God's love is the gift of Christ to each of us and to grow in favor with him. God sent his son into the world that we may believe so this great love can live in us. Back to the fear. There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made in perfect love because love, he first loved us. Often in ministry, we need these reminders that we are chosen, that you are holy, and that you are loved by God. I just like to turn and close our time to this illustration, kind of a funny illustration, but I think it hits the point of what we're talking about. One evening, while a man was driving down a country road, he was lost control of his car, and he wound up in a ditch. He walked to the closest farmhouse and asked for help to pull the car out. The farmer said, "Sure, let me hitch up Dusty, and you'll be out in no time." A few minutes later, the farmer appeared with Dusty, an old, swayback, almost blind mule. After Dusty was hitched up in the car, the farmer cracked the whip and said, "Pull, Buck, pull." Well, nothing happened, and the stranger looked around for a mule named Buck. But there wasn't any other mules. There was only one, and that was Dusty, who wasn't moving at all. Well, the farmer cracked the whip again and said, "Pull, Clyde, pull." The stranger took another look, and there was still only one mule hitched to the car, and that mule's name wasn't Clyde. Nothing had happened, so the farmer cracked the whip again and said, "Pull, Dusty, pull." Well, Dusty began to pull until finally the car came right out of the ditch. The man thanked the farmer, then said, "But I'm really curious. If your mule's name is Dusty, why'd you say pull Buck and pull Clyde? That doesn't make any sense." The farmer said, "Well, you know, Dusty's old and he doesn't see too good. And he doesn't have much confidence. Why, if I thought he had to do all the work by himself, he'd never try." I love that story because it relates so much to camping ministry, what we do. We feel so often that we're on an island, you know, just doing it alone. We don't have the other mules next to us pulling, you know, stuff out of a ditch. But we don't need that because we have the Lord as our strength. Think about today. What brings you joy? And share it with someone. You know, certainly the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that's where our hope comes from. But remember this. Remember and thankfully that we are chosen. You are holy. You are dearly loved. And again, we don't have to do it alone. Our confidence comes from knowing God and being in relationship with him. And may you launch into this new year, into this new day, with that same confidence. Amen? Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord, for your teaching today. Lord, confidence is a hard thing, and we feel like so often we have to do it alone. Lord, we feel like as we're pulling, we can't do it. But Lord, I ask right now, and I don't know what's going on in this room. Maybe, you know, there's a sweet season of life, and all the resources are being met. And maybe for some, you know, they're struggling, and maybe for some, they're just trying to find their place in you. But Lord, again, as we look at this day ahead of us, I ask that you'd meet each person where they're at, and you'd find some encouragement, Lord, that we could know that we are holy, we are chosen, and we are dearly loved. Be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.